So let's go ahead. We were talking about defining wisdom last week. Do I have that on? I do. Okay. And there's more to be said, and I thought that there were some things that I hadn't, because of your questions, I thought I wasn't explaining clearly enough. So we're going to work on that part a little bit more. So on the review section, I call this section not commands, but ethical, with ethical responsibility. So wisdom, we made the point in the early lesson that it was called distinguishing commands from proverbs. And then last week, we talked about wisdom is receiving God's good teaching, subjecting one's thinking to God's ways, which contains an ethical or moral component. Okay, so then the question raised, well, wait a minute, you said these weren't commands. So, my point about them, about Proverbs not being commands is, first of all, is that Proverbs are different from commandments. They sometimes sound as exacting as a commandment, but they are meant to give insight, not orders. And then, last week, defining wisdom, there were these points that I covered. Old Testament wisdom is the teaching of a personal God who is holy and just and who expects those who know him to exhibit his character in the many practical affairs of life. Old Testament wisdom, then, is skill in living, comes from the human will in subjection to God. And Old Testament wisdom, because in submission or subjection to God, has an ethical basis. So there's a right and wrongness to wisdom. Now, what do we mean by that? What am I trying to say with all this? I'm going to give you some examples here. So here's the verses, and I don't remember what I put on your text. I think I gave you some blanks. Can't remember what you've got on the sheet, but you'll just have to bear with me as I talk about these things, and maybe we'll figure out what we're doing. Okay, so here's the first example. This is one of the verses, or a verse like this was mentioned last week. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Here's a similar one, and I think this is the one that might have been mentioned. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. Okay, so those are two pieces of wisdom from Proverbs. Now, here's a word from Ephesians 6. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. All right, so we want to analyze this. What is this quote from Ephesians targeting? Or what could we say about this quote from Ephesians? Okay. It's an instruction.
Discipline and instruction.
Okay, so discipline and instruction, but what is it telling the fathers?
Not to provoke.
Okay, not to provoke, so that is a command. Okay, and then, but on the other hand, bring them up in a certain way. All right, so Lola, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, just asking fathers or parents to do things in moderation. So even as you instruct and you discipline,
okay, so there is a balance in here, that's true, but what I want you to see is that this is an imperative. Okay, so it's not just let your kids do whatever they want, but it instructs you. There's a commandment. Do not provoke. That is a negative commandment. Okay, but on the other hand, bring them up in the discipline. And by the way, the word discipline is the Greek word paiduo. It means a pedagogue in the Greek culture was the guy that you hired to raise your kid. And that guy made sure that kid was in school. If that kid disobeyed, he had the authority to bring corporal punishment. So paiduo is not just setting up a rule system. There is a structure to it. There are edges. You cannot cross this line. All right, but anyway, the point is, but there is a balance. Do not provoke your children to wrath. Okay, so there's a balance. You know, it's not just pound the kid. It's discipline and instruction. But here it's a command. That's the idea. So what, if it's a command, what is Ephesians targeting in the man, in the father?
Grace.
Well, grace, but he wants the father to, I'm trying to draw a word out, Tola.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Ephesians 6:4, is it not contradicting what the Proverbs say?
Is it not contradicting what the Proverbs say? That's part of this question we're trying to settle. Okay, so I got to think of a way to ask this so you'll give the answer I want. Daryl, you want to try?
Well, I'm just, from my own personal experience, sometimes what I thought I was disciplining was just, well, their behavior just annoyed me.
That's right.
Rather
okay.
than it actually being wrong.
Right. That's right. That's part of the problem. That's when we do provoke. All right. Betty.
It's the word wisdom.
Okay. Is the word?
It's the word wisdom.
No, the wisdom is not what I'm looking for from Ephesians. So Ephesians is an imperative. So what does that, you get an imperative, let's take it outside of Ephesians. What's another word for imperative? Command. Okay, so if I give you a command, what am I expecting out of you?
Obedience.
Obedience. I'm expecting action. If I tell my son to do something, they better do it. I'm expecting an action. So here's what I'm saying here. Ephesians is targeting actions or behavior on the part of the father. Actions or behavior. Don't provoke. That's a negative action. It's don't do the one thing. But also, do the other. Discipline and instruction. But what are these proverbs? What are they addressing? What is the target of the proverbs? What kind of literature is it? It's poetry, but what kind of...
Wisdom
literature. Okay, so there comes the word wisdom. So when it's wisdom, what is Proverbs targeting? Principles? Sort of. In the man, in me. Okay, so if I'm receiving this wisdom from God, I'm responding to this wisdom from God. Is this telling me to do something? Are these verses telling me to do something? They're not actually commands.
Yeah,
what are they trying to teach me?
To spank you, right?
No, that's not where I'm going. Rob.
Maybe a guiding principle.
A guiding principle. Where would a guiding principle reside in your psyche?
Well, in your heart.
In your heart or in your mind. All right, so Proverbs is targeting thinking or philosophy. All right, so now, so the ethical dimension, I'll just give you this one, I'm not going to try to drag this out of you. The ethical dimension of Proverbs means you are responsible for how you think. So I said there's a moral component to this. If you're one of these people who says that children need no boundaries, and that that we can't be restrictive, and we need to let the inner child express itself. Are we following Proverbs? Are we thinking what Proverbs is thinking? No. So what Proverbs is teaching us is that parents need to think about their responsibility as parents. They need to use wisdom. And we need to think the right way about raising our kids. So the morality has to do with our thinking, not our actions. Now, Ephesians is talking about our actions. Now, they're tied together. Clearly, they're about the same subject. But in Proverbs, it's governing the way we think about child rearing. We have a philosophy. We have an idea that we need to do something to restrain the impulses of our child. And Ephesians is telling us what to do about it. Okay? Discipline, that does involve some kind of authority structure. All right? Instruction, the word instruction also has the idea of order. We're going to put order into that child's life. We have to do things to do that. but with the caveat, not provoking, right? Okay, so it's not just simply the parents are the boss, or the dad in this case, fathers, are the boss, and you better do what I say, and you better say how high when I tell you to jump as you're going up. That is provoking, right? So don't provoke, but do discipline, do instruct. And the philosophy behind, the wisdom behind those instructions are the Proverbs passages. Does that make sense? I see some people nodding. All right, Lola.
Yeah, I just want to ask, is Ephesians also talking about self-control for the
fathers? Yeah, but he is teaching us to be disciplining them. Okay, it is, I mean, there is a tendency, it's not just absolute authority. It's not saying fathers have absolute authority, but it is saying they do have authority and they need to exercise it. All right, Tola.
But this one said, a child led to ascend, bringeth a parent to shift.
That's wisdom. That's in the Proverbs.
Some people cannot strike the balance.
Some people cannot strike the balance, but that's not the issue. That's not what I'm trying to get you to see. Okay. Okay, so she said, a foolish son brings a father to shame. Is that what the verse you quoted? A child left to himself brings a father to shame. That's true. Okay, that comes from the Proverbs. That's wisdom. Okay, that's part of this same wisdom package, how we think about child rearing. Okay, what I'm just wanting you to see is that there are commands, New Testament, that are informed by wisdom, the book of Proverbs and other passages like that. I'm still not getting through. My wife has a puzzled look in her eyes. Okay, so Rob.
So I'm just wondering if I have this correct. So is the overall premise of what you're just saying here, it's not so much this example, but the philosophy behind Proverbs is...
Right. So what Proverbs, even when Proverbs sounds like a command, it's teaching you how to think. And so... that's what the ethical dimension of biblical imperatives means you're responsible for how you act. So, okay, so Paul will say, I could have given another example. Paul will say, the man that will not work shall not eat. That's in the First Thessalonians 5 or 2 Thessalonians? In 2 Thessalonians 3, I believe, okay? Man that will not work shall not eat, right? Pretty sure that's where it is. All right, so in Proverbs, you're going to see him talking about the sluggard, talking about his field, talking about what it's like and what we should think about that. The command is, if he won't work, he shouldn't eat. But the philosophy is, that's going to lead to poverty. Okay? Do you see the difference? I don't know if I'm getting through. My wife is going to be very puzzled.
My problem with what you're saying is it sounds to me like what you're saying, which I can't imagine you saying, that Proverbs is just teaching you how to think, so these specific things don't have a specific application.
They do have specific applications, but what I'm saying is that the moral obligation we have in Proverbs is thinking rightly. It's not so much the doing of the proverb, although that it will result in action. If you think rightly, it will result in action. But the message of the Proverbs is to teach you how to think. All right, so I think Stefan has his hand up, and then Emily, and then Daryl. Is that how it works? I can't remember. I saw hands over there.
It's my birthday this week.
It's your birthday this week. So go ahead, Daryl. He jumped the queue. Okay, so...
I got into several Facebook discussions because a meme comes up saying that your behavior is more important than what you believe.
Yeah.
Right? And that's backwards.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. The value of Proverbs is it's teaching us about thinking. And we do have an obligation to think God's thoughts after him. That's wisdom. But we also have an obligation to do what God says. Okay? So that's obedience. That's what I'm trying to get to. All right, so Stefan, you're next.
Sorry, I don't think I'm helping. But I'd be the bottom line. That almost sounds like it's giving me more wisdom because it says, well, fathers, you're kind of part of the picture too. You've got to provoke and But yeah. It gets to that point of any discipline.
Yeah. Well, there is wisdom in commands as well. I mean, that's part of all of Scripture is wise. Okay, but specifically with wisdom scripture like Proverbs, it isn't so much commanding us how to behave as it is commanding us to think a certain way. Now, that will result in behavior. If you believe that children need to be disciplined, which is what the wisdom is, then you will find ways to discipline them. Okay, and to check their sinful impulses. Okay, that's the philosophy. And it doesn't, obviously, the Bible does not exclude corporal punishment. It doesn't in the Old Testament. It doesn't in the New Testament. Okay, so we have to, okay, so Emily, were you going to say something?
Oh, it's part of comparing Scripture with Scripture and taking the whole counsel of Scripture as a whole and not trying to compartmentalize.
That's right. It's trying not to compartmentalize. All right. Was there anything else? Anybody else? Debbie.
Yes. But, and to me, like the Ephesians passage, is more a general statement, whereas the Proverbs ones are so specific.
Well.
In other words, to me, it seems like the Proverbs are specific ways to handle discipline, but all within the context of remembering not to overreach.
Okay. Well, yes, but there's a lot of people who think that there is no need for child discipline. They are unwise with children. Yeah. And so what Proverbs is informing us is that this isn't the way of wisdom. So maybe the example, I probably got a hot button example, but the reason is that that verse was raised. So I'm going to give you another one. Okay, another illustration. So this verse was raised last week. See if we can do something with this. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. So the question was, if somebody's not winning souls, are they sinning? Okay, and I wanted to say, well, not from that verse, because this verse is merely talking about wisdom. But can you think of a verse that would command us to be a soul winner? Anybody think of one? Great Commission, which is?
Jesus said, and then going into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Okay, are you thinking of Mark? But anyway, I've got Matthew here on the screen. Okay. That's right, but that itself is not a command, actually, in Romans. It's true, but here's the command. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. All right, so the two passages are talking about the same theme, right? But Matthew gives us a command. And Proverbs expresses right thinking about the subject. It gives us wisdom. Okay? So, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. How should you think about that? It's the right way to think. You should have a heart for other people. Okay? That's wisdom. But the command comes from Matthew 28 and other passages, but Matthew 28. Is that clear? Do you see that one, the difference? Rob?
Well, sometimes I look at a command like that. I think, being from Saskatchewan, I think of the elderly farmer that's hardly left his or her field, and they can't really make disciples of all nations, but I suppose they could help financially.
There's all kinds of things you can do. Yes.
Yeah, but I think I'd say the little old lady that has.
Well, okay. Here's the thing. Let's think about the people who live in the desert of Victoria. They spend their time in their houses, or they come to church. They go to the grocery store, and they have real deep conversations at the till, right? And they go to Canadian Tire and. And they with Spider-Man there at the Canadian Tire. Our grandson saw the guy at Canadian Tire with a red shirt on. He kept going, Spider-Man, Spider-Man. Okay, but so you have this conversation. But Okay, so who do you meet on a regular basis? And if you go to work, you do meet people there, if you're actually at a job. Other than that, who do you meet that you can win to the Lord? Unless you go out on purpose to do it, you can't. There's not many people you're going to meet. And most of us are too afraid. And so in our, we don't have to be a farmer in Saskatchewan working in his fields, never seeing any people. You can do that right here, around, surrounded by many people.
I suppose the farmer always sees his neighbor or something.
He saw his neighbor, sees somebody, he can be a, and he can, of course, support missions and things like that. But the thing is that what Proverbs is telling us, this is the way we should think. What Matthew is telling us, this is what you should do. Do you see the difference? That's what I'm trying to say. The difference between a command and a Proverbs. All right, Betty.
It's easier to see the difference in this because the proverb does not have the language of do not or do. So
that's right.
There's a previous one. It sounds like a command, but they're saying that because it is a proverb, it's not the intent.
Well, there is no imperative in those two verses. Where? Do not hold back discipline. Okay, there is in that one, yes. Okay. All right, do not hold back. But we have to remember, what I'm saying is, this is wisdom literature. It's not the same as the epistles. The epistles is teaching us how to live. Okay? It's giving us, you know, like James, for example, every other verse is a command in the book of James. Okay? All right, Tola.
Yeah, what of the place where Paul said, preach the word?
Yes.
In his times,
yes.
A command?
Yes, it is. Yes. Yes, it is a command. It's a command to Timothy. It applies especially to those in the ministry, of course. Okay, but really anybody can be a preacher of the word in a certain sense as you reach other people. All right, so let's move on. I'm trying to do my best and I'm using up all my time. I don't know if I'm getting this point, so maybe I should quit beating the dead horse. What do you think? Let's go to synonyms for wisdom in Proverbs. So here I have, I'm not sure if we're going to get through all of this. We've got 15 minutes. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. So there are five main words. For our main terms or categories of terms for wisdom in the book of Proverbs. And I've highlighted them in the different colors. Now, they're not always the same word. Now, they're in the same category, and you'll see this as we work our way through as I give you the answers. But Kidner starts with this, and I think I put this in your notes. The book of Proverbs opens up the plain daylight of wisdom, chokmah, that's the main word for wisdom, into its rainbow of constituent colors. These all shade into one another, and any one of them can be used to represent the whole, yet there is some value in seeing them momentarily analyzed and grouped. So each of these words, the word in verse 2 where it says, to know wisdom, that's chokmah, but every one of these other words give a different shade of meaning to what wisdom is. So that's what we're talking about in the rest of this lesson, and I'll try to go quickly. All right, so the first word, you'll notice the red instruction in verse 2 and in verse 3. And I'm just going to work through my notes, and then I'll give you, well, I guess you can tell, instruction is one of the words. So maybe we should just go ahead and give you that. Instruction or training. Okay? This is a quality of character as well as of mind. In the Septuagint, it primarily translates with paiduo, that word I talked about, education, child training. So when you're talking about training a child, you're talking about the whole thing. In the Greek word, it's talking about the whole thing. It's putting facts into that head. It's putting boundaries around that life. It's testing the knowledge. It is requiring not just regurgitation of facts, but gaining understanding. That's what the instruction means. From the usage and parallels in the Old Testament, one must conclude that these words denote correction, which results in education. Okay, and Kidner says it has a note of sternness. So we have that passage in Proverbs 24 about the man passing the field of the sluggard. And he takes, Solomon takes instruction from this, or warning. He looks at the field of the sluggard and he sees, he gains wisdom from it. He himself is instructed. The borders of his mind are being informed. It's sometimes translated discipline. Proverbs 3 verse 11, the discipline of the Lord. Proverbs 23 verse 13, which we already looked at, the discipline of the rod. This is instruction. Okay, this is instruction. But most often it is oral instruction, hence the close association with the law, with the Torah. There's a companion word which is often occurs with it, the word reproof. It adds to the idea of verbal correction. Proverbs 3:11, my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. So it's a parallel with instruction. Reproof is a parallel instruction. So the two terms together can be summed up as discipline. They give the reminder that wisdom is not to be had through extramural study. It is for disciples only. That's Kidner. He's saying that if you want wisdom, you have to work at it. Okay, there is a requirement that you labor for your wisdom. All right. So that's instruction and training. I guess the next one I'm showing you that one as well, understanding or insight. So, a couple of it's here in verse 2. It's also in Proverbs 2:2. Make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. There's actually two Hebrew words that are translated understanding. They have the same root. Solomon's prayer, when he asked God that he might be able to discern between good and evil, to be able to understand or to have understanding. It's not just collecting data, but it's the ability to sift and discern between various strands of data. The attainment of discerning understanding, Proverbs 2 verses 1 through 4, probably should look at that one. I'm kind of rushing, so I've been avoiding going to those passages, but maybe we should look at that one. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, and there's several words here that mention or that are connected with this idea of understanding. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you. So in understanding, there is submission involved. Verse 2, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. So there is self-discipline. And then verse 3, if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. There is zeal. So there's a zeal for understanding. And then verse 4, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. So it has value. And then finally, verse 5, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good course. Okay, so understanding or insight is the synonym there. All right, so the next one is in green. It says wise behavior in the text. I'm going to call this wise dealing or good sense. Okay, so in verse 3, to receive instruction in wise behavior, this synonym. So good sense. I got these ones from Kidner. Good sense, practical wisdom, or, he says, savoir-faire. I thought, oh my goodness, what in the world is savoir-faire? I looked up the dictionary. Capacity for appropriate action, especially a polished sureness in social behavior. The guy who just knows how to relate to other people, he has savoir-faire, right? And in the Westerns, they call it, he's savvy, right? He's savvy. That's where it comes from, okay? Savoir-faire. All right, so that's what this good sense is. It's just the ability to know the right thing and do the right thing. Lee?
It's like helping you develop that skill in godly living.
That's right, that skill in godly living. And so that's what You know, like wisdom, you just, there's some people, you know, they just seem to make right decision after right decision, and they're, nothing flusters them. They're very wise, all right? They've got this good sense. So, some illustrations. There's a negative one. Eve saw the fruit as something to make one wise. That was a false assumption. And the idea is that she thought it would make her sophisticated, that God was holding out on her, and she would really understand. And so that was the temptation that was put before her. But on the other hand, another woman, Abigail, knew how to deal wisely and calmed David down when he was about to come and destroy everybody in her husband's house because of how her husband had treated David. You recall the story, 1 Samuel 25. So it relates to an intelligent knowledge of the reason. There is the process of right thinking through a complex arrangement of thoughts resulting in a wise dealing and use of good practical common sense. Another end result is the emphasis upon being successful. So somebody who is wise, they just things come out roses because they make good decisions, sound very savvy. It's just the appropriate decision. So this is what wisdom is. Marlene. Yes. Yes. That's right. So it depends on your relationship with the Lord. Godly wisdom, wise behavior like this, does depend on the relationship you have with the Lord. And it's a shade of meaning on what, when we think about wisdom, my main definition is it's skill in godly living. Okay? Wisdom is skill in godly living. So this is, this is just the good sense to know the right thing to do. Okay? So it's part of the same idea. And it all comes from a right relationship with God. Alright, so the next one, you see the words prudent and discretion in verse 4, and so shrewdness or discretion. Alright, so what do we mean by this? It can degenerate, this word can degenerate into scheming and manipulation in the hands of an evil man. An evil man like this is kind of a wise man, but he doesn't have a noble character. But in a godly man, we find a man who, as Kidner says, knows his way about. He knows the ropes. He takes the trouble to find out how things work. He's prudent. Okay? He looks into all matters related to the decision at hand. He knows the people involved. He knows what moves them. He knows where they will likely fail. He's realistic about things. Another definition, and this one comes from the Theological Word Book of the Old Testament. He says, he's quoted by Kidner, somebody else. He says, it's the power of forming plans. So this prudence, this discretion, this kind of wisdom, or this aspect of wisdom, is the ability to form plans and carry them out. In the Theological Word Book of the Old Testament, it says, the prudent one does not vaunt his knowledge. He ignores an insult. He acts with knowledge. He looks where he is going. He sees danger and acts appropriately and is crowned with knowledge. He gives several references from the Proverbs for this, for what prudence is, for this shrewdness or discretion. And this is a part of wisdom. Okay? Knowing how to work things out. Okay, in life. All right, Marlene.
Would Nehemiah fit into that?
I'm sorry?
Nehemiah.
Nehemiah would be a good example of this. He knew what to do. He walked around the city, saw the broken down walls. He knew exactly how to put it in plan. When the Samaritans came against him, he said, "All right, okay, everybody, we're going to work one-handed. You carry your spear, carry your bow, whatever it is, and use your trowel. Use your trowel with the other hand. Be on the alert." So they kept on working. He knew how to do things. Nehemiah is a good example of that. Thank you. All right. Okay, so I'm sort of rushing. I have one more, and that is, you see, knowledge and learning highlighted. So those are the word. That's the word. To give prudence to, to the naive, the text says, to give knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. Man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. So this is not just knowledge of facts, but knowledge of truth. So over there in chapter 2 and verse 5 and 6, we saw this again. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So it's knowledge of truth and of God himself. So the wise man is a person who examines this knowledge or the things of God. He studies God. And he increases in the knowledge of the things of God. Learning implies that the knowledge of truth isn't simply given and received. It's not just a set of facts, but it's something that is grasped. Okay? A wise man will hear, that's the facts coming in, and increase in learning. So in his grasp of what is going on. And it is something that is done with the mind. It's perception done with the mind. All right. So I've rushed through. Any comments or questions about anything that I've said? I've got about 1 minute left here. Lee.
I just find it interesting, a lot of these proverbs are out of the Old Testament, and there was actually a tangible and material blessing for following. Right, godly living as well.
Yes, yeah.
People realize where, not that that, I think that blessing in a sense still exists, but there is the wisdom and skill that you gain. It doesn't, now it seems like there isn't that guarantee of prosperity or fruitfulness or anything like that, but where am I going with this ultimately? But it's almost like a mind thing or a mental promise, if you will, it seems.
Yeah. Well, I think that if you will apply yourself to knowing God and knowing His ways, as I've said before, all things being equal, there is a physical blessing for that. Things do work out better if you're wise. I found, how many of you have had hard situations in your life? Okay, anybody? Now, some of them are out of your control. But how many times have you gone, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Okay? You get yourself in trouble, and you look in the mirror, that's the guy that did that. Okay? And, you thought you knew what to do, but you clearly did not. You did not have knowledge in this sense. All right. I think Tola wanted to say something first.
Yes. I think the Bible admonishes so that we should get godly wisdom.
I'm sorry, that we should get?
The Bible admonishes so that we should get godly wisdom.
That's right, yes.
We should not get earthly wisdom, because earthly wisdom is devilish.
That's right.
But godly wisdom is pure.
That's right. Godly wisdom is pure.
And direct us.
Yes. And so that's why we go to the Proverbs and we dig into it to gain insight. It's for training our mind about how we should think about life. And even as you're going through now, I do think, we do recommend reading through the Bible, reading through the Proverbs. But one of the things that we find, once you get past chapter 9 in Proverbs, you get into those, it's just basically a collection of Proverbs. It's almost like you need to take one at a time instead of read the whole chapter and think about what that proverb means. Look for related verses. Because you say, oh, that's a good one, then you read the next one. And pretty soon, if you're reading through the whole chapter, you've forgotten about that one that you thought was a good one, or, by the time you get to the end of the chapter. So sometimes this would be a good way for you to do your own personal Bible study. You're working through Proverbs, say, okay, I'm going to take Proverbs 10:1, which I have no idea what it says, and I'm going to think about that theme. I'm going to search for, if you get a Bible program, there's lots of good free ones available. There's more expensive ones too, but there's good free ones. I'm going to search for that word in Proverbs. And think of what Proverbs says about that topic. I'm going to inform myself and meditate on that for this week. That'll be my project for this week or whatever. So there's many different ways to get yourself thinking in this way, thinking through the Proverbs. All right, now, Debbie, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I was just thinking about what Lee was saying about, it doesn't seem like today, in today's world, that there's, I think you were talking about
like
that,
a tangible right? or material benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was going to say that I think that the peace of mind that people who follow the Lord have is worth the peace of mind, the sense of purpose, the, all of those things that we get from God are something that are worth more than
yes.
what you might say the material.
That's right. That's
and
right.
People in the world even can recognize that.
Right.
You know, even if you, because people have come, you know, to our home sometimes or something like that, they mm-hmm. remark about
yeah.
how it feels to be in that home just
right.
because of what's
yeah.
godly people there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
You still have like joy and peace even
yes.
if it's difficult to
yes.
yeah.
that the world is absent.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Okay, so we're going to cut it off at this point. I do have a conclusion. These synonyms give us a comprehensive picture of wisdom. Put all of this together, this is wisdom. We have a short form definition which emphasizes the idea of skill with ideas or knowledge. This goal involves a comprehensive understanding of people, circumstances, motivations, behaviors, probabilities, and facts. It involves a lifetime of learning. It involves a commitment to personal growth, especially in the biblical context, spiritual growth. Wisdom doesn't come overnight, but over time. Wisdom doesn't arrive, it progresses. Wisdom isn't cocksure, but confident, and contributes to the success of God's kingdom in the world. And so we encourage you to seek out wisdom. Now I'm going to change tack now next time. I haven't quite decided which way to go. I have one section of teaching that is on the forms of the Proverbs. It's sort of technical, and I'm sort of debating whether I should do it or not. And then we have some more teaching actually on the content of what Proverbs says. And that's where we want to get to eventually, is actually talking about what Proverbs is teaching. So we'll work on that next time. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this time that we've had today. We pray that you will help us now as we continue to study the book of Proverbs and how it applies to our lives and how it guides our thinking. Lord, we pray that we'd be faithful to your word in all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.